Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Medanta Global Health Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amey Chalke from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rico. Good afternoon and very warm welcome to all the participants on the Global Health Limited 4Q FY 2024 earnings call hosted by JM Financial. Joining with us today from the management side, we have Dr. Naresh Trehan, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Pankaj Sahni, Group CEO and Director, Mr. Yogesh Kumar Gupta, CFO, and Mr. Ravi Gothwal, Head Investor Relations. Over to you, Naresh, sir.
Good afternoon to all of you who have joined us for the Medanta Q4 and full FY 2024 earnings conference call. I'm pleased to inform you all that for the fifth year in a row, Medanta has been recognized as India's best private hospital, and also it is one of the only hospitals from India which is in the first 200 hospitals of the world. Now, this is fifth year in a row, so it's really a testimony to our consistent care quality and what we call Medanta model of care. So with that, let me just walk you through what is happening as far as our commitment to excellence and the growth of our medical services and also the standards that we are raising continuously. So Medanta Gurugram became the first in India to use advanced AI-enabled Penumbra Lightning technology for treating pulmonary embolism. Now, this is a technology which has replaced the acute need for major operation to extract clots from the lungs, which used to carry a lot of risk. But with this device, which is AI-enabled, we can actually suck out the clots and save people's lives, and many, many lives have been saved which otherwise would have had to undergo this risky operation. Further, Medanta piloted the Bharat program helped by a specialized team which is dedicated to raising awareness about reducing the incidence of pulmonary embolism in the Indian scenario and also enhancing the knowledge around the world. Our doctors also pioneered in using non-invasive mitral valve repair technology, which actually we come under the heading of structural heart. India now actually has caught up with the rest of the world, and Medanta is at the leading edge of all structural heart procedures, which include TAVI, which include complicated procedures like redos. So all that is happening here, and we are the leaders in this part of the world. Also, we have made major strides in robotic surgery. All procedures now are routinely done robotically and with the least amount of intervention for the patient and increasing the safety. One of the major things that we have accomplished, which is routine now, is that the robotic donor surgery for liver transplant. This has actually reduced a huge amount of pain and morbidity on the patients who are donating livers for their relatives. So these are major advances that have taken place in the last year. So digital innovation is a key enabler in bridging the accessibility gap in healthcare services, especially in underserved Tier 3 and Tier 4 towns. Last year, we had launched Medanta eICU program with setting up command centers at Lucknow to enhance the access to critical care in underserved areas. During the year, Medanta ICU saved lives of many, many patients, including a 16-year-old boy, patient with critical conditions and non-recordable blood pressures admitted to the hospital in Prayagraj utilizing Medanta EICU. Our intensivist team managed the patient until stabilization, then swiftly transferred him to Medanta Hospital. The patient was successfully treated and discharged in good health. Overall, we continue to focus on delivering higher standards of clinical care, and as a result, Medanta consistently delivers strong financial performances year on year. Now I will hand over the call to Mr. Pankaj Sahni, our Group CEO, to walk you through the performance during the year and the quarter. Thank you for your patience and thank you for joining the call. Pankaj, over to you please.
Thank you, Dr. Jain. Good afternoon and welcome everyone to our Q4 and full year FY24 earnings call. Let me take you through the key highlights and annual performance for the year. After that, I will hand you over to our CFO, Yogesh, who will discuss the quarterly performance. Financial year 2024 was another strong year for Medanta, with consistent execution and sustained growth across all revenue and profitability metrics. During the year, Medanta delivered a total consolidated income of ₹33,498 million, a strong growth of 21% year-on-year. EBITDA was ₹8,737 million compared to ₹6,771 million in financial year 2023, registering a growth of 29% year-on-year. EBITDA margins have also improved by 154 basis points from 24.5% in financial year 23 to 26.1% in financial year 24. Profit after tax for the period was ₹4,781 million, an impressive year-on-year growth of 47%. Our average occupied bed days for the year increased by 14% year-on-year, representing an occupancy of 62% on increased bed capacity. ARPOB increased 5% year-on-year to ₹61,890, driven by a change in case mix. Inpatient count increased by 15% year-on-year to ₹1.6 lakh volume. During the financial year 24, we incurred capex of ₹3,035 million, out of which ₹995 million was incurred towards our Noida hospital. In line with our growth strategy, we added 126 new beds. Of these, 98 beds were added in Lucknow in the last week of March 2024, and 28 beds were added in our Patna hospital. Additionally, 4 new operating theatres were made operational in the Patna hospital to meet the increasing demand for surgical procedures and critical care. In financial year 2024, we added over 150 senior clinicians across all our units, further enhancing our medical expertise and ensuring the delivery of superior healthcare services to our patients. We have also launched comprehensive oncology care services with the operationalization of the most advanced radiation oncology machine known as the Varian Edge at both Lucknow and Patna. Our patients will benefit from complete comprehensive cancer care under one roof in both of these units. Medanta Labs created a network of 8 new labs and over 120 collection centers set up since its launch in January 2023. Also, from a balance sheet perspective, we closed the year with a net cash surplus of ₹7,720 million, providing us with a strong financial foundation to support our future growth initiatives and support our growth trajectory. Our developing hospitals, which includes Lucknow and Patna, registered a strong revenue growth of ₹9,948, which is a 34% year-on-year growth. The overall revenue share from these hospitals increased from 27% of our consolidated revenue in financial year 2023 to 30% in financial year 2024. The EBITDA contribution from these hospitals rose 32% in financial year 2023 to 37% in financial year 2024, reaching ₹3,208 million, a robust growth of 49% year-on-year. The occupied bed days at our developing units increased by 31.2% year-on-year with an improved occupancy rate of 61% on an increased bed capacity, reflecting strong growth driven primarily by increased patient volumes. This growth clearly indicates the successful ramp-up of operations and the increasing trust and preference of patients in our quality healthcare services in these regions. Now coming to our mature hospitals. Our mature hospitals have also contributed significantly to the overall growth. Mature hospitals have registered a year-on-year growth of 18%, amounting to ₹23,829 million. EBITDA grew by 29% year-over-year, reaching ₹6,002 million. This growth is driven by consistent efforts of strengthening the core through clinical talent additions in our existing units. During financial year 24, revenue from international patients increased by 24% year-on-year to ₹1,935 million, which contributes approximately 6% of our overall revenue. Our in-house outpatient pharmacy business continues to register strong growth, with revenue increased by 32% from ₹850 million in financial year 2023 to ₹1,120 million in financial year 24. Now let's take a closer look at the performance trends over the past several years from financial year 2020 to financial year 2024, which is important to illustrate the consistent, strong, profitable growth Medanta has been delivering, and this growth is backed on strong fundamentals across the network. Our total income has had a compounded annual growth rate of 22%, while EBITDA has grown by 40% CAGR from financial year 2020 to financial year 2024. This robust growth is a clear indication of our successful strategy and our ability to scale operations effectively, driven in large part by volume growth across all units, indicating strong demand for our high-quality, comprehensive healthcare services. During the period, our EBITDA has grown at a CAGR of 40%, with EBITDA margins improving from 15% to 26.1%. This underscores our portfolio strength and focus on operational efficiency and ability to drive profitability while scaling our operations. A quick update on our upcoming projects: the construction of our Noida Hospital, a state-of-the-art facility designed for optimal patient care, is progressing well. As at 31st of March 2024, 95% of the superstructure is complete and the MEP work is in progress. As of today, I am proud to tell you that our complete roof has been cast and the finishing work is underway across the hospital. Our hospital is expected to commence operations in the end of Q4 2025, Q1 2026. Our asset-light hospital partnership in Indore has moved forward with a favorable judgment from the Madhya Pradesh High Court, and we are waiting final clearances to proceed further. Our super specialty 400-bed hospital in South Delhi in partnership with DLF is progressing. As you would be aware already, a subsidiary company has been formed and regulatory approvals are in process. Before handing over the call to our CFO Yogesh to discuss the financial performance for the quarter, I would like to highlight that the Q4 2024 performance was impacted due to a little subdued performance in our Lucknow unit given a seasonally weak quarter. While other units, including our mature hospitals, have continued to deliver very strong year-on-year growth and moderate sequential growth, we are very confident in our performance across all of the units and continue to invest heavily in each one of them. Let me now hand over the call to Yogesh to share with you some of the performance for the quarter.
Thank you, Pankaj, and good afternoon to everyone. Now I would like to discuss consolidated financial and operational performance for the quarter. During the quarter, Medanta has delivered a total income of 8,361 million, registering a growth of 14.2% compared to the same quarter last year. EBITDA for the quarter was 2,068 million, an increase of 8% year-on-year basis with the EBITDA margin of 24.7%. Our profit after tax for the period was 1,273 million, registering a growth of 26% year-over-year. During the quarter, 98 beds were added at Lucknow in the last week of March 2023. Occupied bed days have increased by 9.5% year over year, representing an occupancy of 59% on increased bed capacity. ARPOB grew by 3.6% to 63,063 in quarter 4 FY24. Inpatient counts increased by 10% year over year and outpatient count increased by 11.5% year over year. During the quarter, international patient revenue increased by 30% to INR 477 million, driven by increased volume in international patient admission. Now, coming to the developing hospitals, in the terms of developing hospital, that is Lucknow and Patna, total income increased from 2,025 million to 2,265 million compared to the same period last year, a growth of 12% year over year. EBITDA of the developing hospital was 622 million with the EBITDA margin of 27.5%. Average occupied bed days increased by 10% year over year, representing an occupancy of 53% on an increased bed capacity. ARPOB grew by 3% year on year to ₹57,696. Now coming to the matured hospitals, a total income of ₹6,112 million, growth of 15% year over year. EBITDA of 1,548 million, growth of 18% year over year. EBITDA margins were 25.3% compared to 24.7% in the same period last year. Average occupied bed days increased by 9%, representing an occupancy of 63%. ARPOB grew by 4% to ₹65,746. With this, I request operator to open the line for questions. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amay Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Till the time the queue assembles, I will ask the first two questions. So basically, the lower margin for this quarter, is it solely led by the lower occupancy in Lucknow or developing hospital, or you want to call out any cost-related item which could have led to the lower margin during this quarter?
So let me quickly address that. There is no significant change at all in any of the cost structures across any of the units in terms of things like the cost to revenue ratios and some of the other traditional metrics get evaluated. You are of course aware that we have a fixed cost model when it comes to much of our employee costs. And so as you very rightly pointed out, if the volumes or the total top line changes, there is a potential impact on the bottom line. But there has been no fundamental change in our cost structure. That being said, when we look at our individual units as well as the mature and developing units which we do report out, we do believe that the EBITDA levels on a percentage basis are still very, very strong and in many cases exceptionally high.
Sure. So as we see the occupancy recovering in coming quarters, we could see the margins coming up. What you?
So obviously, as the occupancies grow, the margins will rise. Once again, as I mentioned, because of our fixed cost model, the occupancy growth has maybe even a disproportionate impact on margin growth. So yes, you are right. And we are very confident with our Lucknow asset, as you may be alluding to. If you notice, we have already invested in additional approximately 100 beds. We are also building another floor, another ward of about 50 beds, which will come on board in the first quarter of this year. So we remain fully invested. We have full clinical teams there. We do expect and we do see recovery coming up there. And as I mentioned many times, We don't look at this business month on month or quarter on quarter. We have a slightly longer horizon. I understand we have to report out statutorily quarter numbers, but that is not how we run the business. So yes, we are very confident and remain so.
Sure. And second question I have related to the gypsum price revision, which is expected this year.
I'm sorry, could you just repeat that? I didn't catch that. Which provision?
Insurance price revision, which is expected this year. Some of the hospitals have said that it could be in the range of 15% to 20%, which comes maybe once in a 3 or 4 years, right? So how are we like placed with respect to that? How much impact we expect to have on our business on account of that?
So obviously, every insurance company that we interact with, we have negotiations and interactions with them on the various rates and tariffs that are there. You are right that we have, over the course of the last 12 months or so, been undergoing negotiations with many of the providers of insurance, and we have been successfully able to close many of those insurance negotiations for price revisions or bringing the prices up to 2023 and 2024 rates, and that's been ongoing over the course of the last several months. That being said, it's important to point out, and if you actually look at the growth not only last year but frankly speaking for the last several years, Medanta has always tried to drive the growth more oriented around volumes than tariff. We have not been very aggressive with tariff hikes. Even this year we have taken a tariff hike only in Gurgaon, no other unit. And that also has a fairly negligible impact on the absolute revenue growth. So a lot of the growth is driven by extremely strong fundamentals on volume. So yes, we will negotiate with each of the providers. I'm not able to tell you, of course, what each of the negotiations leads to. But there will be some positive movement on tariff. But important for you to understand that much of the growth fundamentally is volume linked, not tariff. Tariff over FY23 over FY24 has had a very negligible impact on the absolute revenue growth.
Sure. Thank you so much. I will join back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhara Patwa from Smiths Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know about Noida.
May I request you to use your handset, please?
Is it audible now?
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
So my question was regarding Noida Hospital. So it is expected to get operationalized somewhere in Q4 or Q1 of FY26. So what will be the operating cost we might incur in FY26?
So, you know, we don't give future projections of operating costs or any financials for that number matter. But if you look at the historical facts across hospitals that have been operational, obviously, in normal course, it takes a couple of years for these facilities to get ramped up. I may refer you back to our history and show you that Medanta, both in Patna as well as in Lucknow in recent times, has been able to achieve break-even in a very short period of time. However, I don't think it would be fair for me to assume that that will happen on a consistent basis going forward. So you should assume that, yes, there would be some ramp-up which will come in the first year of operations. Obviously, there will be some amount of scale-up, some amount of initial costs that get incurred. But that being said, as I mentioned before as well, we remain very confident on the Noida region. There is a lot of excitement already, both with the clinical community that would like to join us, as well as we understand with the patient community from that area. So to the extent that we operationalize this, we do plan in our internal activities for some amount of EBITDA losses in the first few years. But hopefully we'll be able to scale these also as soon as possible.
Sure, sir. So, just from the modeling perspective, will that be fine to assume that whatever cost we have in FY24 below the gross margin divided by your operational beds in Noida, your total operational beds, and whatever cost we get, Will that be fair to assume that Noida Hospital will have a similar level of cost as we have in Medanta currently?
You know, I think it will be a little difficult for me to assist you with your Excel modeling over this call. However, what I may suggest, if you have detailed questions, maybe I can refer you to our investor relations team, and to the extent allowable and possible, we'll be able to guide you on the specifics. But I don't think we'll be able to give you formulas of what to project in your model just on this call, given the queue of questions.
Sir, next question was on Lucknow as a region. So even other competitors are looking out to expand in Lucknow, and they're adding up a good, you know, 500 bed, 1000 bed kind of beds going forward. So how do you see this competition going forward? Or do you think that the market has enough potential to for every player to grow further?
My belief and our belief in Medanta is that not only Lucknow, but pretty much every region in the country has a huge underserved demand. And so therefore, I firmly believe that if you take all the capacity that people are claiming to put up over the next few years, and maybe even more, there is still plenty of opportunities for healthcare providers, just because there's such an acute shortage, and even more so an acute shortage of the high quality healthcare that Medanta is known to provide. So I am not concerned about additional capacity enhancement in Lucknow or any other region. In fact, Medanta has always been a trendsetter. You know, similar questions maybe a couple of years ago, people used to ask, why are you going to Lucknow, or why are you going to Patna? And very clearly, we have seen the success, and very clearly that success has been followed by others. So they always say that, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery. So to that extent, I guess we can feel flattered on our performance. I also wanted to point out that as of yet, there is no additional capacity expansion. So all that is happening in many of the places is that the ownership of one entity is changing hands from one party to another. That doesn't actually translate into additional capacity. In our particular case, we have not seen any impact of any changes on any of the ownerships or any additional impact on competition at all so far.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible. May I request you to use your handset, please? Hello? So may I request that you unmute your line from your side, please? So may I request that we move to the next question? The next question is from the line of Rishabh Tiwari from Elagro Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So I have two questions. I'm not sure if these were answered earlier in the call. First one is, why do we see a decline in the margin in this quarter? Is this related to seasonality purely, or there were some other factors that this can be attributed to?
Sorry, your line was not clear. Let me just repeat your question to make sure. Your question is that the quarter four margin decline, is it related to seasonality or any other question? Is that any other reason? Is that the correct question?
Yeah, right. That's my question.
Yeah. So we had actually addressed this earlier in the call, as I mentioned, and I had detailed out that there has been a bit of a volume drip in our Lucknow unit in the fourth quarter, and that has resulted in what you see as a sequential margin decline from Q3 to Q4. That being said, we believe that the margins which are actually reflected on a full year basis as well as on a quarter basis for our Lucknow as well as all our units actually are still exceptionally high, and we continue to have very strong confidence in the performance across all these units.
Okay. My second question is regarding our upcoming unit with the partnership at DLF. We recently came across a news article about a couple of litigations regarding the land for the same. So do we see any problems, or how does the management view the partnership and the plan?
So to the best of our knowledge and our partner's knowledge, there is actually no litigation that is currently being filed by anybody. And so therefore, maybe we should be cautious on what we read in the media. It's not always accurate information. We are 100% committed to our partnership with the DLF group, as I believe are they with us. And we are 100% committed to the construction and building of this hospital. After all due statutory approvals and processes are in place. So there is absolutely no change in anything with respect to this particular hospital site or this partnership.
Okay, okay. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
So am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Sir, just on CapEx, if you could share for this year, 25-26, which projects and what quantum of CapEx we will be incurring. I guess because Noida is largely done, DLF might take some time. So if you could share some thoughts on CapEx first.
Yeah, so let me hand that over to Yogesh. He can share with you some of the thoughts on it, and then I can give you a bit of the qualitative flavor.
So Noida CapEx is still undergoing, right? We have just completed the superstructure related job. Rest of the CapEx on Noida is yet to be done. We have already given you earlier guidance that overall CapEx over next 2 to 3 years will be in the range of 1,000 to 1,200 crore rupees. If you need any unit-wise breakup, maybe we can take this call information to you later on.
Got it, sir. And secondly, sir, given that directionally now that almost 98 beds already added in Lucknow, another 47 bed to be added in 1QFY25, so directionally we'll have some increase in operational cost, or the current fourth quarter number already reflects the additional cost on because of these beds?
So Tushar, let me answer that in two parts. I think the question which you are getting to, which is fundamentally this capacity expansion does not require significant cost increases because of the fact that we already have the teams in place to be able to service the patients in these wards. So there are three new floors which we have built out, which are all in the ward category, not the ICU category. And so therefore no very significant increase in manpower or any fundamental operating structure is required for the purposes of this incremental bed capacity. So that is, I think, the main part of your question. However, just to give you some more clarity, we do continue to invest in senior clinical talent in Lucknow. And that is not really linked to these particular beds, but that is in general. So we are currently hiring as we speak. We intend to continue to hire clinical talent over the course of the full year. And we remain committed to driving not only senior clinical talent, but also new and innovative clinical talent. So things like robotic expertise, things like minimally invasive surgery expertise. So we will be adding in clinical talent in also niche areas based on our philosophy and strategy, which we have adopted across the group. So the cost which may come may not be linked to the beds per se, but linked to the already stated strategy.
Understood. So, but despite that, directionally, the profitability should be improving because this number of beds will clearly then have an operating leverage. Is that the right way to understand?
Yes. So, you are right. As we add beds, because of our model and our system, operating leverage kicks in. Obviously, you know, depending on which metric you're looking at, whether it's occupancy or other things may, you know, move around because we are still not in that situation like in, say, Gurgaon, where you are fully stable. It's still a growing unit, still adding in capacity. So, but otherwise, I think, you know, we are, like I said earlier, we are very confident in how we continue to move on investing in this unit. And, you know, over some period of time, like I said, we don't look at it over quarter on quarter. Over some period of time, this will stabilize towards being a more mature unit, and you will see probably then, you know, the typical mature unit kind of profile from the financials of this unit as well.
Got you, sir. And now that Indore project, if you could just share in terms of timeline for, let's say, the commercialization or the start of construction and all.
So in Indore, we have, or rather our partners have received a positive judgment from the High Court. We are just waiting for all the final I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed on all the legal aspects, including, if anything, what may happen in any of the potential litigations that may crop up. And once that is done, we will then enter into a definitive agreement, which of course we will obviously inform to everybody, and then move rapidly on construction. Our partner remains committed, and we remain committed. So as soon as possible, we would like to move forward.
Got you, sir. And just lastly, on the matured hospital side, we haven't added bed in FY24, I guess. So, but then any scope of adding bed there for, let's say, in 25-26, or will we be having Lucknow, Noida, and Indore to be the key bed driver for next 2 years and then subsequently DLF project?
So in our Gurgaon unit, I may have mentioned this earlier as well, we had one floor, which was our chemo daycare ward, which had actually been under renovation. So those beds were actually out of commission and out of service. So while you may not see them on our bed addition, they are now almost, I would say, about 75% now in operation. Still some more renovation is going on in the remaining 25%. So that bed count is back up to complete full strength. And we actually have, in the first quarter of FY25, added in one additional floor, which is our mother and child obstetrics and gynecology floor. And that got operationalized just a couple of weeks ago. So it is not reflected in the financial year 24 numbers, but you will see that in Q1 of FY25. So a new floor for the service, which we added in last year.
Understood. That's helpful. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Shah from Canara Robeco AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question pertains to the Lucknow hospital. If I heard correctly, you mentioned that there was a YOY decline in occupied bed days. So can you confirm that and also explain if there's any slowdown in demand or any particular reason for this YOY decline?
So, yes, I can confirm that there has been a slight decline in the year-on-year occupied bed days. There are a couple of reasons for this. One, of course, is that we've seen some amount of volume decline because of various aspects of the increase and very severe winter that we had this year in that part of the region. We've also seen some amount of challenges with respect to how this particular quarter performs vis-à-vis some of the other units which traditionally have a stronger and more robust Q4. So if you look at across the years, in Lucknow, we do see actually the fourth quarter performing a little bit weaker than, say, even the third quarter. Of course, in the first 9 months and even leading up to that, we had very robust performance in Lucknow. And so this may be a reflection of increased performance in the past, which you are seeing as a dip. That being said, like I've mentioned, we are very confident on the trajectory of this unit. And we do see that we continue to invest, we continue to have the demand there, we continue to have the clinical teams there. So no very big concerns on our part. But also important for you to understand that, you know, this is not something that we look at just one quarter on one quarter. So if I give you an example, in Lucknow last year, we saw that Q2 actually had a very high dip, high growth, which is also unexpected to some extent because of the nature of the disease profile or the nature of the patients, etc., that came in. So I think in our particular case, we look at it over a slightly longer time frame.
Right, got it. And the new beds which are being added in Lucknow, any timelines you're looking at for these beds to come to overall hospital level occupancy and margins? Any expectation on that?
So, you know, that's not really how we actually look at the way in which we practically operate any of our units, right? So I don't know if I may have mentioned this in the past, but we operate what we call a cohorting model, where we try to group all the patients of a particular specialty or a particular type of disease profile in a similar manner, and that allows for us to have highly trained nurses, better quality of care, etc., etc. So we don't look at it to say that, okay, will one particular floor have occupancy of X or occupancy of Y. We actually look at it much more at the unit as a whole and see, are we able to provide the right clinical infrastructure in combination of wards and ICUs to be able to, and of course the procedure rooms like OTs and cath labs, to be able to deliver that kind of care. And so we typically group these by that categorization. So you will find, for example, in our more mature unit like Gurgaon, we will have dedicated floors for cardiac surgery, dedicated floors for orthopedics, and so on and so forth. And we then provide those floors to our clinicians and to our clinical teams, and you know those get filled in over time. And this is how we actually run the show. So it is a slightly different we are operating from what your question implies, and we believe that this is the right way to ensure high quality of care delivery.
Got it, got it. So some of the brownfield bed addition, any cost that is yet to come, hit our P&L related to new specialties being added, which is still not there in the numbers yet, anything you want to highlight on that front?
So I mentioned before, I think it's important for you to understand that the new specialty addition is not linked to beds in, frankly speaking, any of the units, with the exception that last year we added our mother and child services in, and we have created a dedicated ward for that, which came on board in FY25 in our Gurgaon unit. Other than that, specialty additions are not necessarily linked to bed additions. So bed additions is a larger growth strategy, and specialty additions is also a larger growth strategy, and they don't have a one-to-one correlation. So we will be adding in specialties, and there may be costs associated with those specialties, and we will also be adding in doctors in the existing specialties. This is largely in both Lucknow and Patna, where we are still very much in growth phase in those units.
Thank you so much. Those are my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just one question from my side was on the timeline for the unit at the unit DLF. So could you just give us some sense on the completion timeline there? Thank you.
So unfortunately, we can't give you too many specifics on that because as you're aware, the first step is to ensure that we get all the appropriate approvals related to construction. Once we do that, I would say that, you know, it would take somewhere between 3 to 4 years to get all the construction up and running and get the hospital operationalized. So I would assume at least 3 to 4 years in that time frame is what we can expect.
And what are the nature of the approvals which are pending for this unit? If you could give any sense, that would be great. And 3 to 4 years is the construction timeline, or you're saying the timeline including the approvals which are expected?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, any building and especially hospitals have a standard list of approvals which are required, everything from pollution to fire to the sanctioned approvals for actually executing the construction activity. And these are fairly standard for, you know, all construction projects. Obviously, with elections going on, that has its own set of challenges in getting, you know, approvals through various authorities and agencies. But that's a fairly standard process. 3 to 4 years maybe with approvals, or once we get the approvals, we'll of course be in a position to communicate to you that the construction activities have started and so on and so forth. But all the activities are moving forward. So during this financial year, we have incorporated the company to actually move forward on this. We have partially capitalized that company also. We are moving forward with all the things that can be done in terms of agreements which are not government related. So those activities are on. We will of course try to expedite it as much as possible. That is in everybody's interest, especially the patients of that region.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So first question, would it be fair to say that the sharp 36% sequential drop in EBITDA for the developing hospitals is only because of Lucknow, and Patna would have actually been flattish or maybe even have grown a bit in terms of EBITDA in this quarter?
Yes, fair to say.
So, sir, then if we have to break down the reasons for this decline, you mentioned three reasons. One is severe winter. The second reason was Lucknow has always been a bit weak in the fourth quarter. And the third reason is we had talked about, in the third quarter, some benefit of dengue. So that had led to some inflated numbers in the third quarter. Would that be a fair assumption, sir? I mean, any other reason for the sequential drop apart from these two?
No. So, I mean, your reasons are broadly in line with, you know, our analysis as well. We have seen no talent attrition at all as on date. We have seen no significant increased activity in terms of the market or the competitive intensity or any kind of behavior like that. In fact, nothing much has changed. So I think that, you know, as with all units, things grow through different kinds of cycles. We look at this a little bit more broadly. One of the things that, you know, we have found is that we do have some amount of constraint in our doctors' capacity. They're already, you know, very busy in OPDs and very busy with their operations, etc., which is why I was mentioning that we continue to look at adding talent in the existing specialties. But broadly, I think your assumptions are correct.
Understood, sir. And maybe one final on that particular line is any particular reason why seasonality is adverse in the fourth quarter in Lucknow compared to any of our other facilities?
You know, I don't know if that's the right way to look at it. Maybe the better way to look at it is to say that, you know, some of these areas are a little bit more prone to what we call the seasonal or the communicable disease profile. And so that's why you see, if I look back at, let's say, all of our units, you see a far greater amount of, say, patients for diseases like dengue, etc., in Lucknow and Patna than maybe Gurgaon. Now, this could be just based... Hi, sorry. Are you able to hear me now? I think I was in the middle of a answer.
Yes, sir. You are talking about communicable diseases being higher in Patna and Lucknow.
So I was saying, you know, it is possible, and I'm not a public health expert, so I don't know for sure, but it is possible that in some of these units, you actually see a higher amount of patients coming in for some of the diseases which have a little bit of a more seasonal bent of mind, like dengue, etc. And that may have spiked during the Q2, Q3 time frame. We did definitely see a greater number of patients as a percentage in Lucknow and even Patna for dengue as an example than we did in Gurgaon last year. Now, whether that is because of some particular reasons on how the demographics or how the ability to manage these diseases in those territories or whether this will change over time, I'm not sure. But this could be one of the reasons. I think also, to be fair, you still have to give it a little amount of time because with our hospital coming up in Lucknow, it was really the first hospital of its kind in that entire area. And you also have to give some amount of time for not only the hospital to stabilize, but also for those communities to understand the kind of care that gets delivered across all the range of super specialties. So this is, in our opinion, a natural progression of the region. With more and more hospitals coming up in the state of UP, it will also bring a increased awareness of the kind of healthcare that can be delivered. And that will be good for everybody because it's also provides greater access and greater availability of complicated services for the people of that region.
Fair enough, sir. That's helpful. And maybe one final question with your permission. Any thoughts on the payer mix in Lucknow and Patna as of FY24 end? And how do you see the payer mix changing in both these facilities over the next couple of years?
So let me answer that in two parts, actually three. First, let's take our Patna facility, which, as you may be aware, is a PPP project with the government of Bihar. We have last year, which is the financial year 24, started to see the inflow of patients from the PPP part of the business. Still pretty negligible as far as the overall 25% occupancy, which is part of the contract. So still not the complete flow which we would like to see, but that has started. I think approximately 500 patients have been discharged successfully under the PPP scheme in the Patna unit over the course of financial year 24, and we really only started to see that flow coming in around middle towards end of Q3 of last year. So we do hope that scales up and we are able to provide those patients with the kind of care that we are known for. So you may see some payer mix increase there as depending on how that scales. As far as Lucknow, FY24, no real change in payer mix for the full year. However, we have applied now as part of our stated strategy for availing the Ayushman scheme in cardiac sciences in our Lucknow unit. And we believe that this is something which is important for us to do. To be able to serve a larger community as well. And this is in line with our doing the Ayushman work in cardiac in Gurgaon as well. And as we get our capacity up to speed in Patna, we will evaluate what payer mix and what programs we need to take in there beyond the PPP of the government.
Understood, sir. That's helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question. Two questions. One is, A, from a seasonality perspective, is it fair to assume that we also go through a cycle of Q1 increments, which bring some pressure on margins for the business? I mean, some of the other hospital chains typically allude to that for Q1.
I'm sorry, can I just repeat your question? You are asking whether we will see some increased cost because of the employee increments. Is that right?
Yes, which typically comes through in Q1. So, you know, what we observed in other hospitals is typically from Q4 to Q1, there is a margin dip which comes in on that account. Is there a trend that we should expect in our seasonality profile also?
I mean, let me answer that this way. Yes, like every other organization, we also have given employee increments with effect from the 1st of April, and that will, of course, play out over not only Q1, but the full year. That being said, if you look at our historical performance, I don't know whether there is any very significant difference in, you know, kind of cost to revenue ratios or margin profiles historically, and we have given increments every year. So I would assume that whatever would be the natural flow through of this increment cost in the P&L will continue in the way it has in the past. I don't see anything fundamentally different.
So secondly, you know, in a couple of times during the call, you mentioned that some of our hospitals still have exceptionally high EBITDA margins. So how should one interpret you know, this sort of classification? Does it suggest that maybe some of these margins are a little on the higher side and they have a chance to get, you know, as hospitals mature, to get a little more rationalized, or how should one think about it?
So So I think the real answer to that is it depends from whose perspective you're looking at things. We as an organization have always tried to be a little bit financially conservative. If you go back in history from even pre-listing to today, you see that, or pre-COVID to today, you see that what was maybe a 15 to 18% EBITDA margin at some of the top performing units suddenly jumped to, you know, 22, 23% numbers, and then, you know, hospitals started reporting, you know, 25 and even upwards. I think at some point we have to understand that this particular industry is not an industry where you can be talking about 30, 40% EBITDA margins on a sustainable basis. So we firmly believe that a rational and reasonable margin profile where we deliver more sustainable growth over a longer period of time is the correct approach. And when I look at some of the margins that we have right now, I feel that, you know, they are doing really well, especially in the historical context. Now, whether they will go up or they will go down, I guess time will tell. Maybe you guys are more savvy at that part. But I do not think under any stretch of imagination that our industry currently is seeing anything less than really exceptional high-end margin, you know, profiles. And that is true for many players in the industry.
That's a thank you. So lastly, when we look through the next 12 odd months, barring the Noida Hospital comes up towards the end of the year, what are the other major capacities that will get commissioned as we go through the next 12 months?
So next 12 months, I mentioned that we already have a one ward which we have activated in our Gurgaon facility. It's approximately 40-50 beds of mother and child that is currently already operational as of today. Patients already there, surgeries being performed, etc. The second thing that is underway is we have one more floor which should come on board in the next few weeks in our Lucknow facility that will again add another approximately 50 beds. In addition to that, over the course of this quarter itself, we hope to add in at least two more ICUs in our Patna facility. That is almost 60 beds. As well as our dialysis extension. Our dialysis is actually doing, you know, almost chock-a-block already, so we had to expand it very quickly in Patna. And we have also started, along with the radiation oncology, which we started last year, we are building out a chemotherapy daycare ward in Patna. And all of that capacity, we hope, will come on board in this quarter or maybe towards the early part of Q2, but most of it should come on board this quarter itself. These are projects which are already underway and very near to conclusion, interior fit-outs, etc. activity is already underway. In addition to that, we may see some additional bed fit-outs for some of the unfinished floors in our Patna unit, which may happen over the course of these 12 months. And then, as you mentioned, Noida. Beyond that, I don't think that we are able to definitively tell you that there will be any specific capacity enhancement in financial year 25. Obviously, the other projects that are on board and a few more sticks in the fire may have a slightly longer time frame than the next 12 months.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishnu, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead with the question.
सर क्या ये जो पैनल जो हॉस्पिटल होते हैं इसमें एक एमसीडी डिपार्टमेंट है जो इसमें इसको शामिल करेंगे आप ये काफी एक लार्जर इम्प्लाई है इसमें
नहीं विशाल जी मैं आपका सवाल समझ नहीं पाया जरा दोबारा पूछेंगे
मैं मैं ये जानना चाह रहा हूँ कि जैसे एमसीडीए के डिपार्टमेंट है जैसे दिल्ली गवर्नमेंट एम्प्लॉय हेल्थ स्कीम हो गई और आपके सीजीएचएस हो गया ऐसी प्रकार से एमसीडी डिपार्टमेंट है इसके एम्प्लॉय एक अच्छे एम्प्लॉय है नंबर ऑफ एम्प्लॉय तो क्या इनको मेदांता के ग्रुप के पैनल में शामिल करने के लिए कोई है प्रपोजल
देखिए जहां तक मेदांता का जो फोकस होता है वो तो हमेशा होता है कि हम जितने भी हमारे मरीज हैं उनकी सेवा की जाए अब मैं ये नहीं बता पाऊंगा आपको कि एमसीडी का कॉन्ट्रैक्ट है या एनडीएमसी का कॉन्ट्रैक्ट है या बीएमसी या कोई भी और एजेंसी का कॉन्ट्रैक्ट है, वो तो हमारे पास बहुत ज्यादा कॉन्ट्रैक्ट्स हैं हर तरीके के। लेकिन मैं तो यही कह पाऊंगा कि जितने भी मेदांता में पेशेंट्स आते हैं उनकी पूरी तरह से सबसे उच्चतम क्वालिटी से इलाज करने का प्रयास किया जाता है हमारा।
थैंक यू लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन, दैट वाज द लास्ट क्वेश्चन फॉर टुडे। As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Just to quickly wrap up, I know we're already over time. Thank you to everybody for joining in and for all of your questions. In line with the very positive trends that we see, not only in Medanta but also across the industry, we believe that we've continued to maintain our strong trajectory of growth and continue to focus on the stated strategy with consistent and deliberate focus. Beyond the numbers that have been the focus of the conversation today, we believe that our impact resonates in the lives we touch and the communities we serve. And we continue to hold that as the number one priority for our organization. Looking ahead, we are well positioned to continue this momentum into the next year. We continue to leverage on our strengths and believe that we will deliver sustainable growth that you all can be proud of and continue to focus our journey on transforming Indian healthcare. Please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team in case you have any questions that remain unanswered. Thank you very much for joining and all the best.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.